It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on, Philadelphia? Hello, everybody. It is Go Birds Radio, and it is another gorgeous not fall day, which I'm still waiting for. I'm sorry. Yeah, Elliot Shore Parks is standing next to me with a hoodie. It's clearly not hoodie season here.
I think it's pretty close to hoodie season.
That's not even like a thin hoodie. That's like a hoodie, man.
Yeah,
well, to be fair, it's colder in here than it is outside. But I had a hoodie on yesterday outside.
All right. Well, you're declaring hoodie season. We are declaring not panic, but a very important matchup with the Lions. I think that's, goes without saying here. First and foremost, just in case you missed it, our boy Greg Ward, welcome to the active roster. It took, Deshaun and Alshon and a whole bunch of other wide receivers to go down, and, the Dallas Goedert may be in question here, too. A lot of questions about that, but Greg Ward is going to be active for this one. Don't expect a lot of action out of him, but James Seltzer, if the first play of this game is not a bubble screen, if they're lined up on the left hash, it's not a bubble screen to Greg Ward, and then he chucks it down deep to Mac Hollins, I'm going to be very, very, very upset. That's all.
John, I think you might be upset on Sunday.
maybe that'll be their answer to their first quarter offense, because Carson hasn't been getting it done, so you can just give it to Greg Ward, put him at quarterback.
Well, that's kind of where I think everybody's been at. It's just, not necessarily the blame game, but like, who is this most important for to just come back and say, like, all right, this was just a weird game down in Atlanta. And for me, guys, I know that there was a lot of things that happened through that Falcons game. And that you can point to a lot of different situations. But I think Doug needs this the most. This is almost not a must win for him, but this is the time to kind of turn this thing around. I mean, we've debated this on the podcast as well. And like, I think head coach and quarterback are so closely linked together that he really hasn't set up Carson as best as he could. Now there's injuries and there's a lot of other stuff that's going through there, but you're starting to see little things about the offense, which clearly never goes towards Carson, because we get very upset if you criticize Carson Wentz in this town in any regards. But
as we should, John Barchard.
I believe that Doug has not quite set up Carson in going back to 2018 too. I think there are times where you saw that, that's something we tend to forget here. People start questioning if he is really as good of a play caller as we really think he is. You mention and hear names like maybe this is Frank Reich or Mike Groh or something. No. This is Doug Peterson. He's got to figure this thing out, especially with fast starts. Yeah, I'm sure that I don't really have any issues with the way Carson has played in these first halves, in these first two games. What I do have the biggest... Oh, man, yeah, Elliot's going to start it up already.
I mean, his quarterback rating was 6 in the first half. I mean,
I know.
We can...
I think that's more on Doug than it is on Carson.
Did they play a second half, or was it just the first half was the whole game? Was he not really good in the second half? Did he not in the first half deal with his entire starting offense going off the field, an offensive line that couldn't block anybody?
Did they return for the second half?
But that's the point. He had a chance to adjust at halftime and actually, all right, here's the guys I'm playing with. Let's figure out what we're doing, and not in the moment, in the heat of the game, to have to just say, all right, I got a guy who has no idea the routes he's running. I'm throwing the ball. It's hitting him in the back of the head. Like, I don't know. I mean, look, I think that if any situation
those were a factor, but when your quarterback rating is 6 out of 154 in the first half and you fall behind like that, I don't want to hear those type of excuses. Carson Wentz has the contract.
10 points. Who isn't that far behind? It's ridiculous.
They lost the game. Okay?
Well, Corey Clement fumbled the kickoff to start the second half.
Yeah, and that one's not on Carson.
And again, they lost the game, but if Alson Aguilar catches it, they win the game. And I know it. Didn't.
Or if
I know
Wentz
they didn't,
throw
but
two
I mean
first
that was a perfect throw. I mean, I'm just saying. I know what you're saying, but you can't just say that Carson Wentz was horrible in the first half, and that's the only reason they lost the game, because it wasn't the only reason.
One of the biggest reasons they lost the game.
It played a role,
and there's also
a reason for why he was so awful in the first half. You have to at least take some accountability of the fact he was awful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he played well in the first half, but there are at least reasons to explain why he was so awful.
There are some of those reasons, but there's not reasons for his inaccuracy, for his interceptions, for his decision making. If you want to say both interceptions were the result of the receivers, like, I don't think that's true. The first one, he's going down, he chucks it up. It was so bad, people were saying it was basically a punt. It's not a punt. It's a bad decision by Carson. The second one...
Well, I mean, they can be both. Like,
yeah,
it was a punt,
was.
Essentially. If it's an incomplete pass, they're punting on fourth down and end up on like the 8-yard line, so it is a punt. But yes, it was also a bad pass, but it still was essentially a punt, is the idea.
Here's what I know. Carson Wentz in his last 13 starts is 6-7. If he loses this Lions game tomorrow, it is a very bad sign for where this is going with Carson. It just is. And you talked about how it's on Doug. I agree. Doug does have some to blame. But last season we saw when Nick Foles came in, and not to get into a Nick Foles debate, but when Nick Foles came in at the end of last season, the offense was fixed. When Josh McCown went in, and it was only a few throws.
Five
the
passes.
Offense was fixed with Josh McCown.
You can't
McCown
do the Josh
there?
McCown. Come the on, Foles
man.
Thing, fine, but you can't do the Josh.
Can I finish?
Five passes.
Can I finish?
Sure.
Can
go
I
ahead.
Finish?
If you're going to say something ridiculous, I'm not going to let you finish.
I say no, but.
Okay. Last year, and really all this offseason, the Eagles talked about getting the ball out quickly. That was a key thing for them this offseason. Carson knows the offense better. Even in training camp, we said he's not running as much because he knows the offense. He's getting it out quicker. Since 2018, Josh McCown, in the few snaps, it was just a few snaps, I know, 1.98 seconds. Nick Foles last year, quickest quarterback in the league from week 15 on. Carson's throwing the ball slower than he was last year. It's not by a lot, but it's slower.
Right, but based on the Falcons game, when you need guys to throw to. You need guys open to throw to. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but in that case, did he not play well when he was 12 of 13 on third down against Washington and looked really good getting the ball out quick in the second half of that game? I mean, I don't know.
We're past the point with Carson where good plays at the end of games and losses are like reasons to be excited. He's now in his fourth year.
I'm not saying a reason to be excited. I'm saying that
everyone absolves him of blame just because he was good in the fourth
quarter. You talk
like
it's in a vacuum. You have to take all these factors into it. Football is not a one-person game.
It's
not Carson Wentz out there against 11 guys. It's,
but he's the franchise quarterback.
Sure, but you still have to take the situation into account. Like,
you do, but if this was a one-game thing, then I could sit back and say that, but it's not a one-game thing.
Well, last season he was playing with a broken back for half the year, and he was coming off an ACL tear. But again, we're
so
two games into the season.
So which portion of Carson's career can we talk about? Because you can't talk about last year. You can't talk about this year because of the injuries. Like,
well, two games this year. I'm saying give the guy a chance. It's September. He didn't play in preseason. I mean, what do you expect? Did you expect him to come out and set the world on fire
in the first two games? Don't count because he didn't play in preseason.
I'm not saying don't count. I'm just saying you make these grandiose declarative statements about Carson Wentz when there are other factors
involved.
What
statements am I saying that are wrong?
What do you mean? You're blaming the loss on him.
He is the reason they lost that game.
He's
the reason they need to win it tomorrow.
He is not the reason they lost the Atlanta game.
He is the reason they lost the
Atlanta game. Did Matt Ryan and Julio Jones not play in that game? Was Carson Wentz on defense for the Eagles and covering Julio?
The defense led up 24
points. He made the throw that should have won the game. Like, he put them in a position where he made a throw that if Nelson Aguilar catches it, they win the football game.
So, I agree with you. They probably win the football game, but there were 2 minutes left.
Not two minutes.
Regardless, it was a great throw by Carson.
There were like 50 seconds left or something like that, wasn't it?
No, the Nelson throw, I think, was around a minute.
Yeah, it's about 50. a minute and 30.
Regardless, it was a great throw. I'm not taking that away from him. But the reason they're behind, again, is because of Carson. It's why they were behind against Washington.
Here's why they've ended up being behind. Doug has not had a great game plan coming out, or at least scripted plays, whatever it is. We don't exactly know, but that flow is not there. He is not getting Carson into a rhythm. And I thought it was crazy against Washington that we have talked about 12 personnel forever during the offseason and into it. Barely went into it in terms of the passing game. Had success there when it was in the running game. It completely affected the way that they ran the football against the Falcons. That's why they couldn't go and do that. But you haven't executed screens. I haven't seen any different misdirection or anything when it comes to even the running backs. With Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, it's not as popping. It's not as creative. And I think that's been the biggest hurdle for these starts that you mentioned. It's not about Carson and just being like, nope, I'm just going to play bad in the first half. And I always want to be kind of where you're at, Ellie.
Right.
But you take it to this thing where it's going, it's always just Wentz's fault. And I'm saying, no, it's the combined of those two. Doug is not helping Carson. Carson's not helping Doug. And that's why we see results like we do in the Falcons game.
What you said is true. Doug and Carson are tied at the hip, right? It's hard in some ways to differentiate, okay, is Doug making the right play call? Is Carson not executing the play? Or vice versa. Sometimes maybe Doug makes a bad play call and Carson saves the day. But what I do know is this. I've seen Doug succeed without Carson, right? So if I'm going to sit here and say, why do I think the offense is struggling? Is it Doug or Carson? And maybe it's a bit of both. But if it's one or the other, I'm going to lean and say it's Carson because I've seen Doug do it. I've seen him do it with Nick. And over the last 13 games, I haven't seen Carson do it. For whatever reasons, it's almost a full season of Carson since 2017. And the results are what they are. They don't score early. He struggles early and they fall behind.
888-729-9494. I think this is just a lot of circumstances that go into these first couple of games here. And honestly, they are so attached to the hip. And that's where I'm kind of at. Who do you think is kind of to blame for these first half slow starts? Because personally, I think it's Peterson. I'm not exactly sure where James is kind of in particular, but he certainly, it's not on Carson. And Elliott
well,
is
saying no. I think that Carson definitely has some culpability in it. And I think Doug has some culpability in it for sure. I mean, Doug has not been great to start games. I don't think there's any question about that. Some of the play calls we've seen early in games have been mystifying. So I think they both need to work on it. But I just think the idea that Carson Wentz is to blame when you lose your entire starting receiving core, your O-line plays like crap,
yeah,
and your coach
crazy.
Isn't coaching that great either, is crazy to me.
Everybody sure. but Carson.
No, Carson too. You're saying, again, just really quickly to clarify, right. You're saying Carson is to blame. I'm saying there's a lot more to blame plus Carson.
888-729-9494. It wouldn't be Go Birds Radio without Tom from Abington. Tom, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, Johnny Barcher, how we doing? Still dropping the pounds?
Absolutely. We're getting
spelt time.
About two more.
Hey, James, how's the family going, brother?
Doing awesome, man. Really,
awesome.
Legit great. Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, so there's three things I'd like to get to with you guys. What's so funny?
What up, Tom?
Is there somebody else there with you guys?
It's your boy.
Oh, my God. Elliot, man, you know what? You have taken the crown off of Joe Aquino, man.
Wow.
I can't even argue Wentz with you anymore.
Did you tell Joe this or no?
No, I haven't. Thank God the Phillies are still playing, so I haven't had to hear him every night bash my quarterback. It's unbelievable. I can't even go there, man.
What am I wrong about, Tom?
I'm exhausted with it. I can't do it. You're wrong about everything.
Everything? Oh, that makes it simple then. We don't have much to debate.
So we don't have to get into that. So I assume you guys would all do the first, third, and Jones for Ramsey, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So what's been reported. Okay, so what if it were two firsts, a third, and Darby? Would you do that?
If the first are split up between years, yes.
Oh, see, okay. When this first
2020, started, 2022, absolutely.
When this first started, I was anti give up two first rounds. But then I think, like, if the only thing that's going to hold you back from doing it is when the picks are distributed, then you obviously think he's good enough. He's the best cornerback in the league. He's 24. They don't have any really long term young elite talent on defense. I'd give up the two firsts.
I would too. I don't think it would take that much time. I think two firsts, a third, and Darby would be. Like, I don't think it will get there. I think two firsts.
And Darby,
I think anyone in this room is willing to trade Darby to get in any sort of package to get Jalen Ramsey back.
Well, it just concerns me that the Chiefs are out there and you know they're going to want him.
It concerns me that any other contender could get Jalen Ramsey.
So just real quick, the other thing. I brought this up to Richie and Muppet earlier in the week. So you got this head first quarterback, right? And he's giving himself up. So I think this is like the new catch-all of this year, right? I think this is causing all kinds of issues. So my question is, and Jimmy, you heard me ask this earlier in the week, If a quarterback's diving head first into the end zone, he's giving himself up. If a linebacker comes in to hit him to stop him from getting the end zone, is that now a late hit?
Yeah, it would be a late. It would be either a late or whatever. It'd be some sort of penalty for sure.
Which is why this game gets more and more ridiculous.
My big takeaway from that, and I agree, I think everyone can agree that rule is just incredibly stupid in that specific situation. I thought DeCamera actually had a good idea to make it like inside the five, you don't call
inside
the rule
the
or something like that.
Test.
I thought that made a lot of sense. But regardless, the way the rule is now, you can't call that play anymore.
Problems.
You can't call that play anymore. That's my big takeaway. Is you can't call a quarterback keep like that in that situation. You can't call that anymore.
Also, because there's too much risk. He just runs right in.
Right, unless he sees the play and it's like a handoff and everyone's going that way. But you can't have that situation. You have to try and avoid that situation in a big spot like that, a two-point conversion.
So I actually want to get Tom's opinion on this really quick. I think that it's a good rule in the way that any rule that the NFL implements that's going to protect quarterbacks is good for this team because of Carson, and you want him.
He's not wrong about that. What he's saying is not wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
I get what he's saying.
You know what? It still sounded like a shot at Wentz.
No, it was actually appraising Wentz. He was actually saying because the Eagles have Carson Wentz, a guy who they need to keep healthy.
No, I know.
That rule is actually a good rule for the Eagles.
It was a bigger shot.
Yeah. Out of his mouth.
You're saying because he's hurt all the time. I get it.
Right.
What a jerk.
Okay, so my prediction is a 57-yard field goal from Elliott with time expiring tomorrow, 71-30. And just something to chew on here.
Wow,
Gardner Minshew the second. Do you guys know that there's no Gardner Minshew the first?
Turns out there is.
I know, it's so bummed. They flipped. His dad goes by
Flint. So his dad's name is Flint, but he's actually Gardner Minshew the first.
Yeah.
But he just
Gardner
goes
Flint,
by
Minshew.
Flint. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, all the crazy stories about him. But I will say,
it was a great when I believe that was true, it was one of my favorite things in the world that there was no first. It's amazing.
Trying to break your hand with a hammer.
That's
to extend your eligibility, and no one has a problem with the NCAA rules? Okay. I mean, like, think of that for a moment. I played a half, and that ruins a year of eligibility. I better break my hand.
All right, let me throw a question at you guys, especially at a particular person in here.
All right. Okay.
Does Nick Foles ever play another game as a Jaguar?
He does not.
Yeah, I think he does.
I don't think so at all.
Look, I don't know. The Gardner-Minshew thing is very exciting, but everyone's overlooking. I mean, they did lose to the Texans last week, and you just paid Foles all that money. What do you think? They're going to bench Foles?
Well, I don't know. If Gardner Minshew goes on a run, I mean, he looks good. Like, he looks comfortable. He looks confident out there. I've been really impressed with him. I don't know. That's why I asked you guys. Like, I don't know how I feel, what'll happen. But if they go on a run or if he plays well, like, I mean, it's hard to bench that guy, right?
It's not exactly the same thing because they don't have as much invested as Foles as the Eagles do in Carson for obvious reasons.
It's a little different,
It's somewhat similar in the way that they made Foles their franchise quarterback. And I think you'll probably see either Minshew get traded, or maybe they'll hold on to him because Foles is now a year or two.
And look, Foles only theoretically paid for 2 years in terms of guaranteed money, so it's a really interesting situation.
888-729-9494. Let's go to David in Sewell. What's going on, David? Sewell. God, I always do that.
I thought you said SeaWorld.
Okay. Guys, I hope you're going to let me get my whole statement out or my comment out.
Let it roll because we only got about 2 minutes.
I'm just tired of Elliott having to deal with this. He is so right. He's so right about Wentz. It is clear that they should try to trade him before the trade deadline. I don't think they'll get a late round pick, and if they don't, cut him. Clearly, the guy cannot play. He's a bum.
He's clearly.
And you know what? Yeah. And they would need to fire Roseman because giving up all those assets.
Dave, I'm sorry.
Just to be clear, he's mocking me. He's not being
a guy like Carson Wentz.
Okay, I got you. Good
just
work,
to be clear,
Dave.
He's mocking me.
Because, took me a second.
Because Roseman gave up all those assets to get a guy who clearly can't play. I mean, look, let's go to Elliott and set the pass. He's made it so clear that it doesn't matter how good Carson Wentz plays in the first part of the game. If he can't come through at the end of the game, it doesn't matter. So sure, if he comes through at the end of the game, then clearly it doesn't matter what the rest of the game is like. And if you go back over to his show, all his games, I don't think we'll find maybe but one or two games where he's played a good first and second half. I mean, clearly the guy can't play. And the one thing I want to make a comment about, before I go, or I want to go back and forth again, but if I don't have time before I go, there is such – I am glad Carson Wentz is here for Elliott because I never hear Elliott so more enthusiastic about football and about stating his case than when it comes to Ripper Wentz. I mean,
clearly weren't here for the Jordan Matthews era.
I think he fist bumps when he throws an interception because you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. He's just so –
Because it's so interesting. Don't you think the Carson Wentz debate? Well, let me ask you. Don't you think the debate is interesting? I mean, he's incredibly interesting.
So are you doing it for an interesting debate, or do you really believe everything you're saying?
Oh, I believe everything I say, but that's a debate.
Then clearly, I don't think your opinion is interesting here, because it's a joke.
Well, let me ask you.
So the extent to which you take it is a joke.
Last week against the Falcons, who do you think is to blame for that loss?
You can't blame Wentz.
Why can't you blame Wentz?
He's part of the blame, but the fumble's part of the blame. Look, I know. It was Wentz's fault he threw that ball in the light. If he hadn't thrown it in the light, Aguilar would have scored that touchdown.
Good case stated there, David.
He did that so well that I didn't even know what he was doing. Once he said fire Roseman, I was like, what world am I living in right now?
When he said cut Wentz at the trade deadline, I had a feeling he was.
Yeah, that's good work.
There were points where he might have directly quoted you when he was talking about how Carson plays in the fourth quarter and the first half and all that. It was pretty damn close.
Yeah, we'll certainly keep that going. I'm surprised that everybody including you, E, how do you not look at the first half struggles and not go, man, this is a lot more on Doug than it is Carson. And
because we've seen Doug's offense work in the first half.
Okay.
Not last season.
We will certainly keep that going. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Lions did something today that has completely changed my mind on this game. We'll tell you about that and a lot more. It's James Seltzer, Elliott Shore Parks. I'm John Barson. It's Go Birds Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Go Birds Radio right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP, 888-729-9494. John Barcher, James Seltzer, Elliott Shore Parks all with you. And every Saturday right around 1:45, we talk to what I think is one of the smartest men in football.
The smartest, John.
And maybe he has an answer to a lot of the debates and questions that we've gone through here in the first hour. We welcome on from sharpfootballanalysis.com, the one and the only Mr. Warren Sharp. Warren, how are you doing this afternoon, pal?
Hey, guys. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Are you a little jealous that Gardner Minshew's getting some of the mustache love and taking away from the shine of your own at this point?
Absolutely not. There needs to be more mustache love out there. Actually, I did the Barstool podcast with PMT and Big Cat, and all four of us were rocking mustache.
Oh, beautiful. Wow. All right.
You started it. It's all because of you, Warren.
All right. Well, I tell you what, if things go well this weekend, we'll start the mustache growth as well. I'll cut off the beard. We'll go mustaches together, and then hopefully the osmosis of your smartness will just hit me, it'll be great here. I wanted to ask you something right off the top. I saw the line dropped a full point from the Eagles and the Lions. Was that you?
I cannot confirm nor deny, but I will tell you that that game is it's tough, right? Obviously, you guys are dealing with a beat-up roster, and you're going up against a team in the Detroit Lions who plays a very different style of offense than what you've faced so far. So far, you've played the Washington Redskins and the Atlanta Falcons, and both of those two teams, they like to use a lot of 11 personnel, well over the NFL average. I mean, the Redskins are 93% 11 personnel. The average is 61%. The Falcons are up at 70%. The Detroit Lions are totally different. They're one of the teams in the league that uses the least amount of 11 personnel, down at 51%. Man. They use a lot of 12 and 21 and 22, and they utilize a lot of play action off of these heavier personnel groupings. And they could, lure the defense into thinking that this is a run, come up to stop the run because we're down on health at the defensive tackle position on our line. We need to stop this run, and then they're going to go over the top. So that is a concern, I think, a little bit from the matchup when your defense is going to play them. And, of course, you're banged up at the receiving position as well offensively, and it certainly affects you guys a lot. We'll see if your number two tight end, Dallas Goedert, is healthy. But you guys love to run the 12 personnel sets. And without Goddard, it kind of limits you and restricts you with, needing to utilize a lot more 11 personnel. So I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup, one that unfortunately early in the season is going to be heavily influenced based upon injuries.
Well, you mentioned 12 personnel, Warren, and that's something that we've been really excited by because of Goddard and because of Hurts being here. When you look at the Eagles, has that changed their ability to run like we saw against the Falcons? If you can't run it, it's just not going to be successful for run plays against that. Have you seen that at all?
Oh, absolutely. You guys know that you guys remarkably ran over 70 plays last week in that game against the Falcons. Only one of them came from a non-11 personnel set. Wow. You guys ran one snap out of 12 personnel, 71 out of 11 personnel. And you know, you guys have an intelligent coaching staff. You're not going to trot out guys in personnel groupings which you don't find are going to be efficient. So you have to experiment with different groupings just to try to do something non-11. When you have more confidence in your 11, you're going to use more 11. Certainly, you have a lot of confidence in your 12, and when those guys are out there and healthy, you're going to use a lot of 12, and we've seen that with a lot of success with winning the Super Bowl and last season. So, obviously, we wish best of health to Dallas Goedert so you guys can run more 12, because 12 personnel league-wide is more efficient passing the football than it is spreading the defense out and playing 11 personnel. It sounds like 11 personnel is the way the NFL is trending. But in fact, we've actually seen the NFL trend a little bit more towards the 12 personnel this season. Last season, we were at, I think it was 65% of offensive snaps were 11 personnel. This season, that's down to 61%. So we are seeing teams get a little bit more creative with their personnel groupings.
So since the beginning of last year, but especially this season, the Eagles have had trouble at the beginning of games. They have no first quarter points this year. They were one of the worst teams in the league last year scoring early on. But they have played better in the second half. If Doug and Carson can't figure out this first quarter offense, I know you look at all the teams around the league and you've written about this, but how important is it for them to do this and not constantly fall behind in games and to actually get going in the first half?
Yeah, well, definitely having a lead at halftime is one of the biggest predictors of success. And it seems relatively intuitive because, you know, if you have a lead, you're probably the better team. And so the better team typically is going to win a game. But it is vital to get that lead at halftime, because what it's not so much, you know, like get a lead after the first quarter. But what happens at halftime, as we know, is that the guys go into the locker room and they start making adjustments. And if they're down, they're going to try to do something a little bit different. So a team, let's pretend you're up on the Lions by 10 points at halftime. The Lions are going to go into that locker room and say, what do we need to do differently to win this game? Even if some of the stuff that they were doing was successful, they are going to probably try to modify their approach in order to play with a little bit more desperation in attempts to win that game in that second half. And a desperate team is generally a team that's not making optimal decisions at all times. They're doing things that are higher risk reward. And so you want your opponent to be faced with that dilemma in the locker room at halftime of playing riskier, but oftentimes with, you know, a situation that's not going to be plus EV most of that second half. So that's why building a lead is so psychologically important, but obviously it manifests itself on the field because those teams tend to win games.
Have you seen anything with the Eagles play calling first to second half? Any, you know, things that you've seen like consistently that have led to any of these issues? Have they called a different game? I know adjustments obviously matter, but in terms of what they're doing in the first half, coming out, the scripted plays, have you seen something that might be an issue?
No, not really. You know, you guys, obviously, you're still staying balanced from a personnel groupings perspective, but the passing offense has just not clicked. When you're an 11 personnel in the first half of games, you're averaging only 5.1 yards per attempt. 12 personnel, it's only 2.2 yards per attempt. So the passing offense has not clicked as well as it needed to early on in games. And, you know, hopefully that will improve. Detroit, you're going up Darius Slay, great cover corner. You're down some wide receivers, so he'll be able to isolate and work on one of the guys that's probably not your number one. I guess we'll have to see if Alshon, do we have any update as to whether Alshon is playing yet or not?
It's kind of still in questionable mode.
Well, Doug said he's optimistic about him.
Elliott thinks he's going to go, for what it's worth, so yeah. Last thing before we leave you here, Warren, and this is again Warren Sharp from SharpFootballAnalysis.com. I know how we all kind of feel about the EV essentially of running the football and all of that, and how it's not as efficient as throwing the football or whatever. But what I've noticed, especially with this Eagles team, is they do like to try and get their offensive line going, and maybe that is through the run game, even if it's not successful. Do you find that those things that don't chart very well in efficiency maybe helps a team long-term if you can get the O-line going specifically by having, you know, a run game type of series?
Well, that's that goes into some of the things that you have to understand from a context perspective that may not be completely in the numbers of black and white text. I don't think that there's been any type of studies that I've seen, or let alone done for certain, that have looked at if a team runs the ball more often in the first quarter, that like they'll be more efficient in the fourth, third, and fourth quarters of games, just because from the sole perspective that they ran the ball more often in the first quarter than they typically otherwise would. I think as a play caller, as a coach, when you're trying to come up with a game plan, you are trying to do primarily, like 90% of this needs to be, what is the most efficient play that I can call in this situation because I want my team to score points. There will be a small percentage of the time when you're trying to call a play to set something else up for later, or you're trying to examine how the defense is going to react to this, so you're learning from what they're doing. And there could be a small percentage of the time when you are trying to get your guys going in a particular reason. But I think generally speaking, if you want to try to get the run game going a little bit stronger, hopefully that's because your opponent, you see an edge in that happening. You know, you're not going to try to establish the run against a really good run defense and be like, well, you know, we're running the ball here. It's going to get our line going for later in the game. You should try to establish maybe the run a little bit more if that's your strategy and get your guys going, if it's a weak rushing defense. So I think it's all relative based upon the opponent. But I don't know across the board if that's something that's hard and fast around the league.
That is Warren Sharp. He joins us every Saturday right around 1:45. Warren, we appreciate the time, man. Good luck to you this weekend. Hope it's nothing but winners for you.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you guys as well.
Thanks, man. That is, again, sharpfootballanalysis.com. When we get back, is this more important for Doug? Is this more important for Carson with the injuries, with everything surrounding this team? And we'll kind of have a maybe even a little debate about how good we think this Lions team is right now. Plus your phone calls, 888-729-9494. It's Go Birds Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Yeah, a little Soundgarden to get your day one. 888-729.
Pearl Jam, but okay.
I know.
That was the joke.
I got him that time.
I know Bartrid knows kind of music. Chris Cornell's like his favorite person of all time.
Of course it is.
That's why I was confused.
729.
That's why I knew what you were doing.
94-94. It is Go Birds Radio. Right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Gentlemen, let's waste no more time because it's time for the picks. The picks, of course, brought to you by the wonderful people at the casino at Delaware Park, where you can watch and wager on everything that you are seeing today into the late night, along with every pro football game tomorrow. And we have got a pretty good lineup as well. The casino at Delaware Park is a lottery agent of the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play, James, but
you don't have to be 21 to watch. Let's start it off with the game of the week. We'll get to Eagles-Lions. That's the game of the week for us, but let's be real. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are heading into KC to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. That is the game of the week, folks. Kansas City, a 5.5-point home favorite against the Ravens. Mr. Short Parks.
So weather might be a factor in this game. I saw that it might rain, and you would think that would favor the Ravens because obviously they're a better
running team.
Lamar running the ball, all that. I'm never, ever betting against Patrick Mahomes from this point on, so I'm taking the Chiefs with the points.
Oh, ring that bell, baby! We have underestimated Lamar Jackson. We have underestimated the Baltimore Ravens the entire time that we have seen them play. That is a staunch unit, ready to kick ass and take names. Harbaugh told us that it was going to be this way. I believe that Kansas City is due for a loss. I love the Ravens' defense in this one.
Ring the bell again! Thank you, sir. Like Elliot said, it's Patrick Mahomes at home against the Ravens. Are you kidding me? I do think the Ravens are a good football team. Patrick Mahomes is on another planet right now. Patrick Mahomes laying 5.5 points. It's not even a touchdown. I would go over 7 in this one if I were betting. So I will take the Chiefs happily in this one. All right, our next one. We are heading to the Cleve, a.k.a. Believe Land, as the Cleveland Browns are hosting the L.A. Rams. The Rams up to a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Barchard.
This is kind of a little tricky, but I've never been so wrong about a Browns roster in my life. I've never been so wrong about Freddie Kitchens and the rest, so I don't think I'm ever going to bet on Cleveland the rest of the year. They got to show it to me here. And I love what's cooking in L.A. right now.
Yeah, I agree. Look, Jared Goff beat Cam Newton week one. He kind of beat Drew Brees in week two, and he'll beat Baker Mayfield this week. I'm going with the Rams.
No way. I am not. No way. Browns do not. Only 3.5 points? The Rams are way better than the Cleveland Browns right now. No brainer. Take the Rams on the road. All right, gentlemen. It's time. It's fluctuated. It was 6.5. It was 6. It was 5.5. It was 5. It's back to 5.5.
Wow.
The Philadelphia Eagles are a 5.5-point home favorite against the Lions. Barchard?
Don't kill me.
Oh, God.
I like the Eagles to win, but I don't like them to cover. Too many injuries, too many people that could get injured in this game. Even if Goddard and Alshon go, I have a sneaking suspicion that it's going to be limited. I believe in the one that they call Greg Ward. I believe probably more than anybody else in Philadelphia in Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to at least move this offense. I do think they start out hot. I think the second half actually slows down, and they win by a field goal.
So I agree. I would take the Lions with the points. Where I disagree with you, though, is I'm picking the Lions outright to win this game.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
If it's going to be a close game, Doug and Carson haven't shown me they can win those, so I'm going to pick the Lions.
Ring the bell! The Eagles at home against Matt Patricia. The Matt Patricia-led Lions. This is an Eagles team that needs this game more. I talk all the time about football, a game of emotion. The team that needs it more can actually win. This Eagles team needs it way more. They're better even with the injuries, and I'm even not even factoring in Alshon and Goddard, maybe even playing. I think the Eagles are a better football team than the Detroit Lions, a Lions team on the road. Again, can I say it again? Matt Patricia against Doug Peterson. I could see it being a close game. I feel like it's a touchdown win for the Eagles. I will take the Eagles. I will lay the points.
All right. Well, grab your black and miles and let's get the gun out of your holster and let's rock and roll, because I hope that, but that's what we all kind of need. We need to see that at least in the beginning of the season. And listen, Doug has been such a proponent of getting these guys going, not only in just the first half, but in the first quarter of the season. It could really, as we know here, I mean, if this team is 1-2 heading into Green Bay, yeesh, psychologically, that's not going to be great. And then whatever, you got to deal with injuries.
The defense looks legit. Good.
Very good.
That dude, Jair Alexander, that guy's a star. Like, he's going to be a star in this league.
These next two games could very well decide the season. I mean, if you fall to 1-3, that's really bad, obviously. I do think the fact it's in Philadelphia, though, I'm sticking to my Lions pick. But the fact that it's in Philadelphia is potentially game changer.
So you said, I'm sticking to my Lions pick, but the Eagles will probably win.
I'm picking the Lions, but I do think, like, Doug is really good at home. That is one major reason. Mm-hmm. If you're going to pick the Eagles, that is an argument I would use.
I was really excited for ring that bell from Elliot, and I got nothing.
Suck at
Elliot,
it.
It's not a big ring the bell guy.
Yeah. No, but good. I wanted to see some energy,
Elliot. Here's the Elliot ring the bell. Go, ring the bell.
Yeah, that's it.
Ring that bell.
Yeah. Come on, put forth some effort.
I don't ring the bell.
Yeah, he goes to the gym, he works out.
That's exactly right.
And he tries to have nicer hair than Josh McCown.
Well, that's never going to happen.
But it's not going to happen. But he's trying to strive toward it. I appreciate it.
I can play this bell for you instead.
Bing! Oh, okay.
Sure. Who is that?
I might rather hear
that's
Elliot
John.
Say ring the bell.
I tell you what, no matter what happens tomorrow, there's a lot of stuff that is going on, at least for us. Come down to the Jet Roll Lot, M&N. We'll be there from about 8 o'clock in the morning on. We'll be, in fact, our good friends at the Delaware Park Casino will be doing the Fantasy and Gambling Show live streaming at Go Birds Pod, at John Barchard, one of those two, whatever one's working in the parking lot. You get a chance to taste some fine new Fly PA beer from our friends over at Goose Island. And who knows? I don't know. Maybe we'll try and recreate the body issue that the Eagles offensive line did.
Maybe
you never know what
won't.
Happens.
Maybe we won't. Let's just
one thing we
won't.
Know is James is definitely going to be a part of it no matter what. thank you again to everybody.
The guy taking the picture.
Everybody that called in and listening to the replay on the Go Birds Pod at Go Birds Pod for everything, including our post game shows going on tomorrow. We have the Double Robs coming up, which is one of my favorite things in the world. Rob Cherry, Rob Ellis, have you, right up until those pesky Phillies. That's what we'll identify them. The pesky Phillies coming to you at 6 o'clock. Rob and Rob, have you the rest of the way. For James Seltzer, for Elliot Shore Parks, for Moshe Kravitz and Sue Schilling, I'm John Barcher. This has been Go Birds Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.